Our next scripture reading you'll see in your bulletin is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. This is our passage for the message this evening. You will see in your bulletin, the fourth message we have gone through this Advent season that covers the theme of waiting. The past three Sunday mornings, we have been with various Old Testament saints as they have waited for something. They have waited for God's promises to come true in their lives. This evening, we turn to the New Testament and we find some more people and they're still waiting. But there's a little bit of a difference in their waiting. So it's a longer passage. We will read all of it, Luke 2, verses 22 down to verse 38. I invite you again to follow along with me in your copy of God's Word. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that of course is Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God will stand forever. Would you join me again in prayer? Lord, as we come to yet another text that shows the faithful men and women of old waiting for you, we pray that you would show us not only what it means to wait in our lives, but most importantly, what it is we are waiting for. That all of our waits, that all of our hopes come true in the arrival of the Messiah, the birth, the advent of your Christ and our Lord Jesus. Meet with us in these few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The author, Charles Dickens, has written probably the most famous of all Christmas stories, of course, outside of this one, called The Christmas Carol. You know the story of Scrooge and the three Christmas ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And as the story goes, that night before Christmas, the ghost of Christmas past comes and he visits Scrooge and he takes him to all of these various scenes from his past. He's showing him how he wasn't a very good person, wasn't a very good young man. And we sort of pop in on a scene and we watch it for a while, and then we zoom out and go forward and visit another scene in his past and watch it for a while, then hop to another moment in time. That's sort of what we're doing in this Advent sermon series on waiting. We're just sort of popping in for a few minutes through history to see how other people are waiting or how they've waited. We visited for a moment Abraham and Sarah living in tents. We visited Joseph as he was on his deathbed waiting for the arrival eventually of his bones in the promised land. We visited the exiles this past Sunday who were living in Babylon, building houses and planting gardens and raising their family. Now we sort of catch up to the present, as it were, and what do we find? Still more waiting. But finally, there's a twist, because the waiting here, unlike the last 3 weeks, the waiting here is finally over. We meet these two Israelites. They've waited their entire lives for the Messiah, and now he's finally come. He's finally arrived. That's what the word Advent means, after all. It means arrival. It means he's come. It means the Messiah is finally here. And so as we stop in for another scene of waiting, we observe the simplest of lessons in our text, and that is that all of our waiting ends with the advent of Jesus. All of our waiting finally ends with the arrival of Jesus. For these two old believers, their long wait had finally come to an end. Right? We don't know much about Simeon and Anna, but they're given to us as these symbols of waiting. They embody waiting. They represent all of faithful Israel who for centuries have clung to God's promises. The first theme in their lives is simply they waited for a long time. It wasn't a short wait. It was a long wait. For Simeon, it began with a promise. We don't know when, but some point in his life, God promised him that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ. That word means Messiah, the anointed one. So he is waiting on a promise that before he dies, God will show him the anointed Christ, the one that's been promised for centuries. And now Simeon believes God's promises. He's on the doorstep of seeing this promise fulfilled. That day in the temple, he sees Mary and Joseph bring the baby, and he recognizes the fulfillment of God's promises. He takes the child. He blesses God for his faithfulness. You see, there's this little, we call it a song or a poem or a hymn in verses 29 to 32. And church history calls this Song of Simeon the Nunc Dimittis. That's Latin for now depart. Now Simeon can finally depart. That means depart this world. That means he can now finally die in peace. We don't know how old he is, but it sure sounds like the words of an old man, doesn't it? Now I can finally go home. One of my favorite sports books is written by a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. The Red Sox are a baseball team that didn't win the World Series for 85 years. The title of this sports book is Now I Can Die in Peace. If a sports victory brings peace, how much more does the arrival of the victor over death and hell himself bring peace? Simeon is joined by Anna in his waiting. Anna is a prophetess who speaks to people about the things of God. Now, she's either an 84-year-old widow, or she is a woman who has been a widow for 84 years. Either way, it's a long time of waiting, right? Anna has lived as a widow for most of her life. You know, sometimes the circumstances of our lives make us feel the weight all the more. Anna is an example of that. I think her absence, we might say, in her heart causes her to long and wait even more for the arrival of this Messiah. So we have these two elderly saints who personify the weight of Israel. It's as if you haven't realized how long people are waiting, you get here and you can't miss it. It's like when you come home from a long road trip and you've been driving for hours and hours and you're almost home and you get stuck in traffic. Right? You got to wait a little bit more. This always happens to us on I-26 when we come home from the beach. We're right there, and we wait a little bit more. For the waiting of God's people, it's been centuries, and now with Simeon and Anna, just a few more years. How do they endure such a wait? Maybe to say another way, what can we learn from their waiting? Well, Luke's clear. He tells us some pretty obvious things about them. Not only are they probably pretty old, but he tells us they're faithful in how they wait. Look how he describes Simeon. He says that he is righteous and devout. He says of Anna, she's always at the temple, worshiping God with fasting and prayer day and night. Right? We might say today, she's at church every time the doors are open. Their waiting was characterized by faithfulness. That is, they walked in the truth. They served God alone. They believed God's promises were true, and they kept following him. They kept believing after all of those years. You know, there's a lot of waiting around Christmas, isn't there? I think one of the hardest waits are for our kids to wait to open the presents right on Christmas morning. Or maybe you have a tradition, you're to go home tonight and open one present. We did that when I was a kid. We loved Christmas Eve, right? You just want to go peek, right, at those presents. You just maybe want to go shake them a little bit. Maybe just feel them to see what's in there. When I was a kid, I remember, I'm glad my parents aren't here, I would sneak into their closet and try to find the Christmas presents before they wrapped them. I was, we could say, unfaithful in waiting for Christmas. How might Simeon and Anna have been tempted to be unfaithful in their wait? Right? The opposite of devout and righteous is disobedient and rebellious. That is to say one thing with your mouth, but live a different way with your life. It is to walk opposite of what we confess. For us today, we have been called to believe on Jesus and wait for his return. Our faithful wait consists of following God, resisting the allure of the world, and holding on to his promises above everything else. The long, patient, faithful wait will one day finally be rewarded. For Simeon and Anna, that reward was the arrival of the Messiah, and it was the end of their waiting. And for Luke, the point of the passage is not how long they wait. It's not how faithfully they wait. It's who they wait for. And Luke wants us to see, finally, the focus of the narrative. The heroes of the story are not Simeon. The hero of the story is not Anna. The hero of the story is the child, the Lord's Christ, Jesus. Right? He is the one who is presented in the temple. He is the one who sparks Simeon's poem and Anna's prophecy. He is the one who is spoken of as the Redeemer of Israel. And look at just this one important promise. The promise that Simeon holds on to, that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's our sermon title. That's our fourth thing we're waiting for, right? The long-awaited consolation. Now, I'm a sports fan, so I think consolation is the game that the third-place team and the fourth-place team play, right? The consolation game. They get the consolation prize, the bronze medal, right? That's, of course, not the consolation for Israel. It's not the bronze medal. It's sort of more like when you think of consoling someone, right? You put your arm around them. You speak kind words to them. You comfort them. That word console also means in Scripture comfort. So the consolation of Israel is the comfort of Israel. In the Old Testament, the prophets looked forward from their pain and their suffering and their waiting for God to comfort them. Isaiah 25, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That sounds a lot like Simeon and Anna, doesn't it? Isaiah 66, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The comfort of God's people comes in the arrival of the Messiah. And Luke tells us what that comfort's like. He uses the word salvation in verse 30. That means simply deliverance from death. He uses the word redemption in verse 38. That means to save by paying a price, or by paying a ransom. That Jesus comforts not just by putting an arm on our shoulder, not just by saying nice words to us. He comforts by saving and by redeeming. We put all this together and we see that God comforts his people by saving them with a Messiah who will pay the price to set them free. This is what Simeon rejoiced in. This is what Anna prophesied. Here at last, this baby, just a few weeks old, is the one who will comfort them, the one who will save them, the one who will redeem them. They believe on God's Messiah, and they are set free. And we too are offered that very same comfort, that everlasting consolation and comfort, simply by believing on Christ. But there's one more piece of the wait. There's one last bit of waiting. There's a cloud on the horizon in this text. You heard it. When Simeon speaks to Mary and Joseph, and they're marveling and rejoicing, and he looks directly at Mary. And he tells her that one day her baby will bring her deep pain and sorrow. Now, she doesn't know what that means. Now, this is a day of great joy and hope and marveling for her, but we, of course, know exactly what that means. It will mean the sorrow of a mother who will watch her child suffer. The sorrow of a mother who will watch her child not only suffer pain, but ultimately suffer the pain of death. You see, God comforts a suffering people by sending his own son to suffer in their place. And not just to suffer in their place, ultimately to die in their place, to die in our place. So our consolation is not a third place trophy. It's not a bronze medal. It's not a sympathetic arm around our shoulders. Our consolation is the free gift of eternal life through faith alone in Christ. Our comfort is a Savior who puts an end to death. Our comfort is redemption at the cost of his blood. God alone comforts. So believe on his son, and you will be comforted. Charles Dickens ends his Christmas carol with the final ghost, the ghost of Christmas future. And that's where we'll end tonight, with the future. Just as Simeon and Anna are rewarded by their wait for the advent of Jesus, so too are we promised a second advent, a second arrival, a second coming. So that we, like Simeon and Anna, like the exiles, like Joseph, like Abraham and Sarah, will be finally rewarded in our faithful wait. It may be a long wait. Like Simeon and Anna, we are called to wait faithfully. And like them, our focus in our wait is the Messiah, the promised Messiah of God, the Lord's Christ, Jesus. So brothers and sisters, friends, tonight let us join the saints of old, secure in the promise of his return, and wait on the consolation of Jesus, for all our waiting ends with the advent of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know how we long for your return, and you know how we forget your return often. Sometimes we are faithful, often we are faithless. Teach us tonight, our hope is not in our devotion or our own righteousness as we wait, but our hope is in the Messiah to come. Our hope is in his devotion, in his righteousness. Our hope is in his work, in his comfort, even in his suffering to put an end to our suffering. We rejoice in this great gospel hope tonight. We ask for the gift of your Spirit to give us faith to believe it, to lay hold of these promises, to never forget them, to never be turned away from them, from young age to the oldest of age. And give us that gift of faith to lay hold of the promises of Jesus. In his name we pray these things. Amen.